Those are the minutes that were attached to our email, so that's what we'll be commenting on. So I guess everybody's here, it's going to be here.
Yes.
So it's 4 minutes after 6 on the 22nd of March. I'd like to call the Historic Preservation Committee meeting to order. First order of business is a roll call. Fowler?
Here.
Mooney?
Here.
Metzler?
Here.
Fredericks?
Here.
Horn is excused. Trustee Gingrich?
Here.
Rob? Here. The next order of business is to modify and or adopt our agenda. Any changes, Trevor?
No.
Nope, we're good.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to move number 9 before we leave?
Mm-hmm. Or we can adjourn at the... Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
In case we... It might be easier for us to... Yeah, I could support that. It might be easier for us to think about agenda items while we're sitting here rather than after when we're standing around in the...
Pump house.
In the unheated pump house. Just a thought. What do you think, Trevor?
That sounds good.
Move it to just, where do you want to move it to? Just before the site visit?
That works.
And make it in between 7 and 8. Okay. Anything else? If not, I'll entertain a motion on the agenda.
So moved.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. Item number 3, approved minutes from January 25th, 2017 meeting. I know we just got them, so I'm going to take a minute. Go through. I didn't see anything, but then
I'll make a motion to approve.
We have a motion.
I have one question.
Yep.
Concerning Jim O'Rourke when he was here about designating what he called the state minutes. What are the thoughts on that?
Which?
Up the bounce?
Yeah.
Oh. Referencing bottom of page 2, Steve.
I thought the fence was, the fate of the fence was determined by the Department of Transportation.
But if it's locally designated, then if they have to move it, they have to put it back, correct? Am I correct?
They have to do all efforts to preserve it, and then if they move it, they have to put it back or put it as close back as possible. It was my understanding.
Which I think they agreed to do in the early going, but 5 years from now when it starts to happen.
Well, yeah, I mean, all those houses backed up there, they have no backyards now.
Right.
Was there some kind of a consensus from the homeowners behind the fence to the extent that they didn't care whether it was replaced or not?
Yeah, but I don't think any of them really want to lose any of their yards. I mean, the fence is kind of the last of the privacy.
But
But then if they're required to move it, they may be moving it more on someone's yard.
Because the new roadway is going to encroach on, yeah. And they're going to cut down a couple of those big trees. And whatever's growing around the tree and the trunk and everything is going to disappear anyway. So.
Well, I'm just saying that it's not going to hurt anything if we did it. Right? I mean...
It might change the project.
To the benefit of the village.
Well, right now you have a sidewalk going along the east side, the entire length of the village. And so that might limit... You won't have a sidewalk on the west side because of the homes on the west side of right. that section.
And wasn't there talk at one time to use the, instead of putting a sidewalk there, using the trail?
That was instead of the bike lanes, I believe.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
The bike lanes, yeah.
I'm going to suggest something here that we make this an agenda item for the next meeting. Is that... You okay with that?
Sure.
That way, have a chance to think about it, and drive by and look at it again, and that way, we're not trying to either say yes or no on the spur of the moment, but actually, are we okay with that? Are you okay with
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
with discussing it officially? And that it's a good point, and you know, Mr. O'Rourke made it, and we should have some kind of a statement about what we think is appropriate.
Right.
I think it deserves our attention as an agenda item. Okay. Good, so we have something to do next. Just one thing. Anything else? That's a good point. The item, here's another one that in the same order as maybe yours. Mr. O'Rourke talked about on the first page about he didn't believe that the proposed Sunset Circle historic district meets the standards. Is that something that we need to address as an agenda item, or would we just take that as his comment and move on?
I think take that as a comment.
That's fine. I just didn't want us to miss a chance to if we thought there was something worth stating. I mean, it is what it is. It was called
right. I mean,
in our intensive survey. We're not going to...
It's been hashed over, and I think it's...
We're okay.
Unless new evidence comes to light that
right.
changes the findings.
Unless all the neighbors petition to not...
Right.
To not do it. Okay, no, it's fine. Yeah. So we had a motion to approve the minutes, and our discussion doesn't really change the minutes, it just brought us another topic.
Right.
So I guess if you have the motion out, and if we have a second, I'll be waiting for a second then.
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item number four, announcements. Trevor, do you have any announcements?
Nothing about historic preservation, but the village board approved the bicycle and pedestrian plan at the board meeting last night. So, no, it doesn't directly impact the historic preservation committee, but there are certain projects like the Safe Routes to School project for Webster Elementary, where there is a section 106 study if it touches a historic property. Mm-hmm. So just something to keep in mind.
That was a lot of work, and that was a big to get that over a long period of time, get it together.
Yeah, a lot of hours, but a lot of volunteers.
Yeah, I would say, yeah. For sure.
103 pages worth, you know, so it's quite the document to go through.
Mm-hmm.
Any other announcements? Anything from the committee announcements? Okay, and we'll go on to item number 5, public appearances. Do we have a...
just me.
Our public just arrived.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I've been working on identifying where Old Alloway is and coming up with an identity for Old Alloway, because all the people who grew up in the 40s, 50s, and 60s kind of knew where it was, but it was never delineated. Okay? We now have the Miramar District, which is good. Okay, that's kind of unique because it's a little different than the rest of Old Alloway, because it has such a consistent look and feel to it. It's, you know, the homes were built about the same time, sidewalk, and it's a little different than the rest of Old Alloway. And what I've noticed is I have the map of the original Kellogg Farm, Rufus Kellogg, who started the Associated Bank. So I have that map, which is the basis of Old Alloway, which has got purchased by some guys, Green and Broman, okay, of Green Avenue. They bought it from the estate of John Law, who was a British fur trader, okay, Rufus Kellogg. So what I'm thinking is that looking at the Kellogg Farm map, which I have, which then does an overlay with the subdivision of the city of Alloway, which was then abandoned and then replaced with Green and Broman, all 1890s to 1910. So by looking at the Rufus Kellogg map that shows where all his barns were and the whole bit, and that's a very good map, that gives us a link to both the original site, which was John Law's site, which is Camp Smith, Rufus Kellogg, Green and Broman. That's what you got. So it's a very clear, easy to understand transition. Because we have Heritage Hill up there, and they have a site, and they have a marker in the front that says Camp Smith, and they've bought the Fort Howard buildings over, and they have a camp over there, I was thinking that not everybody knows who Kellogg was, okay? Not everybody knows Green and Broman, but if you said Camp Smith, they get it. They can go over to Heritage Hill, they can kind of imagine it, and then from Camp Smith you can talk about Shantytown and where, you know, the soldiers and, you know, the camp followers, and so you can tell the whole story. So kind of what I'm thinking is if we tie together Old Alloway with the boundaries of the old Camp Smith, which would include Mission, and the old Indian Mission House, which is very famous, very important, from the 1820s, that would give us a good informal delineation. So once we're done with this round of historic districts, we can then revisit the Camp Smith district. So it would either be Old Alloway, Camp Smith, Kellogg, Green and Broman. It's all the same two farm lots, which would be the John Law farm lot and the Mission farm lot. So that's kind of what I'm thinking. And it's not easy to distinguish, but if you look at from Mission to 172, that's what you got. River to river, Mission to 172, that's the old fort building. The fort was only active for a couple years, and then they got moved back down. They went to Fort Howard, up to Camp Smith, and then back down. But my theory is they moved up here because this was better land, and he wanted to start. He wanted to start a real city, a permanent city, and so Colonel Smith wanted to build a permanent city on some good land instead of down by the swamp. And I don't think he was worried about getting invaded by the British again. So he just kind of wanted a good place to start a family. That's my thoughts. So I'd like to pursue that as a long-term project, possibly with our Historic Alloway Society, and start looking at that. So. But we just need to, there's four different names you can have for the exact same area. Camp Smith is kind of the most romantic, because that gives you Camp Smith, and that also ties you into Shantytown, which is down at the bottom of the Miramar District. And then Shantytown, I was just looking at it. Shanty is a Irish word for a crappy old house on the edge of town. And in looking at the development of westward migration of America, it was the Irish laborers who lived in shanties. That's technically a shanty. That's what it is. So the Irish males moved west, and they lived in shanties, whereas then the Irish females went to work in the middle class and upper class houses in New York and Boston, and they became what's known as the lace Irish, lace curtain Irish. So you'd have shanties, and you'd have the lace curtain Irish, and they were both impoverished, but the lace curtain people thought they were better because they had laces in their windows, because that's what middle class people. So the start of the middle class started, you had Shantytown, and Robert Irwin, who came here 200 years ago this year, okay, he was our first postmaster. He lived at the right in the Miramar district, at the base of the Miramar district, right there, okay, on Crest Court, 172, right next to Judy Poe's house. Okay, so Dickinson, who started the pier, was in Judy Poe's house. Whitney, who started Green Bay, was in the middle of Miramar. That was his lot. And then Robert Irwin, who was Protestant Catholic, that's Protestant Irish, he introduced the middle class to the Midwest. So if you read the stories of Robert Irwin, they were trying to fix up their house. They didn't like shanties. Okay, so they were. This was the start of the upscale housing, not log cabins. They wanted something a little nicer. So it kind of all ties together, but it's hard to figure out. It was hard to get a name that kind of works, and the only name that people could kind of remember to get them started would be Camp Smith, and then from Camp Smith you could get to the Irwins and the Whitneys. And so long term, I'm thinking that that's where we'd like to go. And then we have a lot of our older historic homes that were built in the 20s, our best ones, and that then you get to Green and Broman. But to get to Green and Broman, you get to Rufus Kellogg, who started Associated Bank, and you get to Camp Smith. So that's where I'd like to go, and as a long-term project, start taking a look at that.
I have a question for Jim. Whatever happened with the chapel?
It's still out there.
Is that? Oh.
Yeah, so I'm on the work with Brown County Historical, and so we're still talking with them. Before we can do any work on it, we have to have all the money raised and a full plan. Okay? And if we can't get all the money raised, then the money that has been raised gets returned.
Gotcha. Okay. But the diocese is waiting?
The diocese is waiting. They don't want to wait a long time. Okay. The challenge was because there was a big building that wasn't very nice. Yeah. The Rhodes Chapel, the stucco was kind of not very pretty.
Okay.
They tore that down, and they felt that when they were going to tear that down, they might as well tear down the other chapel. And what was driving it was insurance costs. When their insurance guy went out to look at the Rhodes Chapel, he looked at the red brick chapel and said, "What is that?" They didn't even have it on the records as a building, so they started charging them insurance on it. And so that's kind of what started that.
Yeah.
So
how much money has been raised so far, and how much?
I don't know. Chris Dunbar's heading it up, so she's the executive director over there. So, but they'd like, the rules are is that they want to see a plan, they want to see all the money in place first. And if we only get half and we stall, then we have to return all the money and then it gets thrown down. But I think it's a really, because there's not a lot to that building, whatever we do to preserve it will last probably another 100 years. Mm-hmm. And put a good steel roof on it. And you look at it.
Right. So. What's the budget, 150?
I think it's down to 80 now. I think it's 80, somewhere in 80. It started off initial, with all the bells and whistles, got up to about 200, and then we started scaling it down, and you can do things to preserve it without going all the way and doing a lot of preservation. They just don't want to use the inside of the chapel because then they have to meet a whole bunch of different codes and it's a lot of things. But as long as they can preserve the outside, they can figure out what to do with the inside of it and they do that. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. I guess we can move on to item number 6, update on the 2016 certified local government grant for nominating the Robinson Hill District and Roger Minahan House to the National Register. Trevor, you sent us some information. You sent us a note, an email about that.
Right. So, from what I heard from the state, emailed you a few weeks ago, we did not receive the grant. And the reason they provided was that they had an increase in intensive survey projects. And as we've discussed before, intensive survey projects are kind of the top of the list, and then goes districts and then individual nominations. So we had the district and the individual nomination on there, so we kind of were at the bottom of the list. Also, we received a grant last year, so that's another doc on our review. So I guess they're going to keep us posted if there's any funding available this year. If for whatever reason a community doesn't want to go forward with the project, but otherwise we'll just plan to reapply next year.
So reapplying, does it involve any extra expense on our part, or do we just submit it, ask Legacy to submit it again?
This,
what triggers the resubmission, and do we, is it automatic? Or?
So I'll have to follow up with the state to see if we have to have another district meeting. Mm-hmm. As you recall, in June, I believe we had a district meeting. We had probably close to 20% of the residents from Robinson Hill. So if we have to have another one of those, we'll certainly do that.
Okay.
Other than that, we'll make some modifications to our application if needed, and just resubmit.
Try again.
Yeah. We'll probably have to solicit new bids or new estimates. Bids, estimates.
That's what I was kind of wondering. I'm going to start over. And we wouldn't know that until when would we know when we need to do that versus waiting for money from the current budget that's not going to be spent? Is there a date?
Probably won't know if there's money left over until the end of the year, so we'll probably have to reapply either way.
Okay.
By May, I will let you know I'll let the committee know if we have to have another district meeting or not. But otherwise, then we'll look at submitting around the letter of intent by September, and then the actual application, I believe, in November. Is it, Bobby? Right.
Mm-hmm. A couple of comments on this grant budget. Although we didn't get the grant money, the majority of the budget went to DPIR, which is very cool that money's staying in this area. They're redoing their intensive survey. So they got a great majority of this year's money. And then also with talking with Green Bay Historical Preservation Committee, they're intending to apply in fall for an intensive survey as well for a district in East Green Bay, and then in subsequent years picking up additional districts in Green Bay. So we'd be very fortunate in this area to have most of the money coming around here for historic preservation, but right now the communities surrounding us are probably going to get the majority of it. Although Green Bay has been talking about submitting for probably a year and a half, so I don't know if it'll come to fruition, but it's just what I know.
But we can still go ahead.
We can still apply, yeah, in case they don't get their paperwork together.
Yeah.
But it might be a little bit before we have another project to work on.
It's another piece of information about probability of success.
And that's just local.
That's local.
So, there's an increased awareness around the state, too. So, there's play by ear, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as the money doesn't get cut from the budgets.
Right.
And the tax laws change.
Right.
Anything else on item number six? If not, we'll move on to item number seven, update on National Register nominations for the Miramar Drive Residential Historic District and the Herman A. and Lillian Grayling House. Thanks for sending those documents, the nomination papers. You know, it's a lot there. Not something we can do.
No, no, definitely not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't made my way through them yet. So.
Yeah. I didn't read every word, but I read enough to know that, you know. You know, my first thought was, why don't we just do the darn thing?
Yeah.
But no, I don't think so. No matter how interested we are, I don't know that we have the time or the wherewithal or the knowledge to do it. But it's interesting. It's interesting reading. The only other one I ever read was the one from Green Bay. It was the Astor Historic District, and that was interesting too, because all those homes down there have a lot of history too, you know, and they were written up. I don't think in as much detail as ours was, so there wasn't as much written about some of those historic homes there, but it was interesting. That was 100 pages or so. I think I stopped scanning down at about page 100. Okay, fine, I get it. It's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting, again, to read the history.
Mm-hmm.
The pictures were good. They took nice pictures.
Yes, they did.
I thought the photography was weird.
Yeah, they did take nice pictures. A lot of good external, a lot of good pictures of the property from the outside. Yeah, a few from the inside, which were all clear. So any update that we don't already know about from that?
No, just that, as I shared with you last week in the email, that they're welcome to come and view it here. I don't have any printed copies, but I can print one. The review dates are between 9 and 12 months out, so looking at November of this year or February of next year before it even gets to the review board, so at the state level. And from there, it's a little ways out from to go to the national level. So that's why we like to have all that buy-in ahead of time. You know, we were trying to hit that 20% mark with the Robinson Hill, I think. So
that over time, people will lose their interest in it or their ability in the process,
knowing
that it takes so long. And I suppose some neighborhoods, people could move out and others could come in and say, oh, we didn't know anything about this. Oh, we don't want to do this.
Right.
All of a sudden, you've lost all the momentum that you have. Yeah. The buy-in thing. Okay. We had moved item number 9 up next, I think, next meeting date and agenda items.
The 26th is the next meeting date, April.
And we had an agenda item that we wanted to put on there, I think.
Talk about the fence.
Yeah, the fence. I'll just throw this out. What do you think about a discussion with maybe some more input from Jim on the old alleyway as a potential district in the future? Is there any way that we could consider that other than just, you know what I mean? If we don't do anything, then Jim said it and we'll think about it and nothing will get done. But is there a is there a, an interest in, or is it appropriate for us to take that to the next level and actually, you know, take some history from Jim and talk about it specifically as something that we might do going forward? Just thought I'd ask if you wanted to have a further discussion about that at our meeting, or if you want to not.
I think that there's some big, important properties that at least need to be properly documented. One would be Kellogg's Woods, okay, and the Kellogg story. And then the other would be the Murphy Coles story, okay, as a larger story. And then also the McCormick home, okay, and who McCormick was. So there's some very important stories that we can work with the Historical Society to bring together, and it can be, you can do a locally, you can locally designate, you can come up with anything you want, actually, with regards to local designation of historic districts, and you know, you don't have to regulate them, but you can identify them as potential future districts. You know, areas that are important that might not qualify for the National Register but are locally important. That's what the local designation is partially for. So, you know, you've got some important stories that we've done a lot of work on identifying, you know, and when we leave and we go in 20 years from now, people are going to forget it and they have no idea, you know, why, you know, what the place looked like in the 20s, 30s, and 40s. We're kind of the last generation that kind of knows what that looked like. You know? Because now everybody who's around here came in the 70s and 80s, and they have no idea, you know, how it developed and how old it was. And same thing with, you know, the Sunlight Park District, too. So I was just talking about Old Alloway because that was just something I was working on. But the Sunlight Park District over by you, see, that whole development there would be another good local district. And even if you don't regulate it and get it on the National Register to get it started, 20, 30 years from now, somebody will have the legwork done, and they can say, okay, well, this is who the many hands were, and this is, you know, this was everybody in the street, and this was, you know, this was the place to be after World War II. Okay. Old Alloway was between the wars, right? World War I, II, World War II, and then the Sunlight Park was, you know, from World War II up to 1970, to the 60s.
Maybe since all our nominations are kind of at a standstill, maybe we should get into that and see where we head off.
Sure.
Put that on for an agenda.
Yeah, I think it's worth, I mean, I know there might be some of the history I know you're capturing in your Historic Alloway, you know, group, so I don't know how much of that is outside the scope of this committee, but I think we should do it. We should talk about what we can do.
Well, this committee talks about structures,
yep,
and then the Historic Alloway talks about stories.
Yeah.
And so we can tie the stories to your structures and locations.
That's right. You have the stories.
You got the stories, you got the structures.
Okay, let's do it.
I know there's some interest at Heritage Hill about that time frame that Jim just referenced between World War I and II, that there's kind of a void in there in the park.
You know, it does well from 1800 or before up until maybe World War II to that, and there's a void in there, and there's talk about trying to find a post or a pre-World War II house and move it there and recreate a home from the 30s or whatever, with the appliances and all that stuff that people who are now. And a lot of this, John Shear has a lot of the interests and the ideas, and he's saying, you know, folks that like him that are in their 80s will remember all that now, but before long, those memories will be gone, and maybe there's an opportunity in there to do
to put something in that gap. And then, of course, 20, 30 years down the road, maybe it's a post-World War II, 50s kind of a thing. So trying to hit the generational differences.
I'll talk to John about my wife and Rosalie just made some plans for some dinner sometime.
Well, you'll get to ask them about it.
Yeah. Sometimes
we'll be off of them.
They were our neighbors across the street.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know, and we lived there all those years, and they were our first. They kind of befriended us when we were, when we were from Minnesota, and neighbors were wondering if we're going to still be Vikings fans or whatever. And we stayed friends with them all those years. I'll talk to John.
I belong to the Fox Wisconsin Heritage Parkway. And we just spent a ton of time and money restoring the lock house and little chute to 1930s vintage with 30s furniture and the whole bit. So we restored it to, we did a wonderful job in it, but keeping the look and feel to it. And so we rent that out kind of as, you know, as an Airbnb kind of thing.
Well.
You know, it's a small Dutch colonial. And
is it similar in structure to the one in De Pere that was Kavarna?
Yeah. But that one was renovated on the inside, and they kind of gutted it. This one, we went back to the original. Mm. You know, that we have family members there who live there. So that's been completely restored, okay, to what it looked like, including the appliances. So we have old refrigerators and all of that.
Anything else on for our agenda for next time?
I have a thought. Did we want to put anything on there? Because I'm assuming it still is, but May always used to be Historic Preservation Month. Is there anything we want to talk about at April to do for... Or are we too late?
I don't think we're too late.
Mm-hmm. There used to be resolutions, I don't know, like that.
We could do that.
Municipality would pass, recognizing it.
We have done that in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Last year we had a meeting at the community center and had a tour of the community center then.
You're more. I can extend the invitation from Historic Alloway Society to join us on the history tour event that we're having down at the Riviera Barn Grill. On the history tour, there's 12 local attractions that are going to be open and free, and so we're going to be giving a little spiel about Shantytown and. Something on the Packers and something on, you know, on Miramar District on Old Alloway from the 30s and 40s. So we'll be doing that. And so if you would like to do something joint with us, you're welcome to just stop on over, or if you'd like to do something a little more formal, I'm sure that we can do...
When is that?
It's at the end of May. I don't have the date right in front of me. But there's 12 organizations that are doing it. Heritage Hill is participating. Hazelwood at Brown County Historical would be us. White Pillars and De Pere. Nettle is doing it. Railroad Museum, the Oneida Tribe. The Antiquarians are over at the... So you know, everybody's kind of involved, and it's a good way. You know, I'm sure that we can find a way to... There's plenty of room over there, so we can find a way to do it. Whatever you'd like to do with us. Typically what we do is we get dressed up in garb, and we have different people doing different period, presentations. So we're going to try and do a couple Packers, because Alloway is kind of famous for Packers from the 30s to the 60s. So we have some Packers, the very early settlers. So Robert Irwin, that's what I was just doing. We have an event set up, and if you'd like to participate or do something, whatever you'd like to do, We can do that. If you wanted to give a presentation on the Miramar district, wanted to present, you know, the report, whatever you'd like to do. I'm sure we can take that out.
Is something we want to talk about next at our next meeting?
Sure. Yeah,
we can send around some emails and just let you know what it is, mm-hmm. and whether you want to do it officially as a group or unofficially, and then just have a table or do something, whatever you want to do.
Anything else? Okay, hearing none, I guess we'll move on to our site visit at the Alloway Waterworks building.
Sure, and if everyone is okay with driving themselves, that way we're just adjourned from the building.
Yeah.
So it's 6:54 now. Hopefully we have some late. Didn't think 44. About that. 44.
6:40.
6:44. Is that what I said?
50.
Oh, 40.
So I didn't want you to write 44. It down.
Thank you.
You got 18 minutes.
Okay.
18 minutes till sunset.